The reading that will inform my sermon is from the ministry of the Reverend Dr. William Barber. My sermon is about when hate is met with love, and he says, those of us who have in our history the commonality of suffering from hate, we know that those who won the day are those who chose love in the midst of hate. Yesterday, we had a march and a rally here in Castine to affirm that whenever, wherever, however hate shows up, we will meet it with love fiercely. Having been a minister for a while now, one who shows up for liberation and social justice, I aim to preach the truth. And the truth is that love always wins. But there's an asterisk, because it's love always wins eventually. It might lose a skirmish or two and arrive at the finish line battered and bloody, but love will always be stronger than hate in the final act. For instance, war. Hate may motivate wars, but love always wins because every war eventually ends. Civil rights, human rights, freedoms, liberties, they might be suppressed or ignored or even be invisible, but then it becomes visible. The need to fight for equality becomes visible. And when we know better, we do better. Once the fight to gain rights has been won, the fight to revoke or repeal is always hateful and is always met and thwarted by love, always, eventually. We might lose some battles, but in the struggles for human freedom, love always overpowers the hate driving the repeal or the restriction. Ever since voting became free to people other than white male landowners in this country, they have been trying to take back those freedoms. Restrictions on human rights are not always couched in the language of love and hate, but it should be. The oppressed group is not hurting anyone by existing or causing harm or violence, and yet their existence is questioned and harm to them is caused. This is true, whatever the oppressed group is. Hate is not the opposite of love. My kids are so sick and tired of hearing me say this. Hate is not the opposite of love. They are two sides of a passionate coin. We flip from hate to love and back again in our human lives all the time. The opposite of love is when there's no passion at all. Not even enough to hate. Apathy is the opposite of love, when you don't care enough to even have an opinion. As a person who has been that annoying one with the clipboard outside your shopping place, I can assure you it is easier to flip somebody from hating something to loving it than it is to flip somebody who doesn't care at all over to the side of love. In my history of working toward human rights ordinances in every state that I have lived, it's usually about some sort of LGBTQ rights. This has been true. When we have either walked up to somebody with clipboards or cold called them, many times the conversation might start out fairly bigoted, fairly narrow, but we always have many successes turning people to our side of equality, freedom, love. Often the difference between hate and love is education or empathy. One of the phone banks in Indiana that I organized, along with Equality Indiana, was to call registered voters to discuss an upcoming referendum and offer information. The act would cement into the state constitution that marriage is between one man and one woman. Many other states were legalizing equal marriage, and Indiana wanted to make sure that it didn't happen to them. The purpose of our calls was for us, And there were dozens of people at dozens of phone banks statewide. This was 2013, before the national move. There were dozens of phone banks statewide doing this. The purpose was for us to collect data so that the so that when the referendum made it onto the ballot, we would have enough data to know how to strategically defeat it at the November general election. We learned pretty quickly that things went well if we asked people to talk about themselves and not really bring religion or politics or even same-sex marriage into the conversation, just ask them about themselves. Well, the first reason to call their representatives and ask their reps to vote no was for economic reasons. Being seen as homophobic as a state could be bad for business and tourism, right? We also asked questions like, do you know anybody who's gay or lesbian? Maybe somebody you work with. We didn't go into family, because that's too deep, too dear. Maybe somebody you work with? Oh, you do? Well, you know, if they left Indiana for greener pastures, wouldn't you miss them? Wouldn't you miss their level of skill at your job? Oh, you would? Well, then call and tell your rep to vote no. Stunned, I tell you, that referendum did not even make it onto the ballot. There were enough phone banks and enough people educating and offering some empathy that it never even made it. Well, that time. Meeting hate with love. I don't mean to sound like Paul, but here's the thing. Life giving. That's what love is. Creative, that's what love is. Love doesn't always look soft and pretty, but love, especially when employed as a deterrent to hate, is a powerful force. Hate is confining, it's narrow, it's destructive. It can only end in ending. It can only end in death or destruction or separation. Love fosters growth and creativity, giving way to new ideas. It's expansive, it's liberating. Love can perpetuate more love, more growth, new communities, new relationships. Love is never ending, whereas hate seeks to end things. When we need to use our voices or our votes or whatever resource we have to let discontent be known, it's because we have love in our hearts, and it makes us angry to see hateful words or laws or actions because they hurt people. The phrase tossed around a lot is nonviolent direct action. This is not the same thing as apathy. Nonviolent doesn't mean we're going to sit there and take it. Well, maybe it does if you're trained in sitting there and taking it. But it's not the same thing as apathy. It's not the same thing as not showing up. Nonviolent direct action. When laws are made or even proposed to limit the humanity of people, trans people, women, immigrants, anybody, the lawmakers and the voters supporting these measures do not, or at least rarely, say it's because they hate the people they're confining or limiting somehow, right? I mean, there's one pastor that's talking about hating people, and that's getting some news, but typically hate doesn't come into it from them, their words. The word or concept hate does not get used by politicians. This causes people like me to be accused of being wrong, not only in our viewpoint about equality, but we get called out for saying something is hateful when they swear it had nothing to do with hate. Are you aware of these conversations, of these arguments? Do you have these dealings out in the world where you know that what they're talking about is a hateful concept? They want to confine somebody, they want to restrict somebody. Well, as my dad used to say, here's the thing. When they want trans people to be afraid and invisible, that's hate. When immigrants see how voters vote against them and their basic rights as people, that sure feels like hate. If black families have to talk to their kids about interacting with police while white families don't have to, that's a custom born in hate. Nonviolence is not apathy. It's not simply skipping something or ignoring or bowing out. Nonviolence is very active, creative, intentional, with opportunities for understanding and growth to happen among the participants. Nonviolence is based in love. Direct action is doing anything in that spirit of nonviolence and love. Putting on the panda suit at a rally, donating to a loving organization, helping somebody by delivering groceries because if they leave the house, ICE might disappear them. All of these are direct actions that do not seek to harm anyone, but rather help. Helping is a loving act. Sometimes church can be that place. I'm proud of us. We are that place. Helping, loving. I wish to share a current story of when hate was met with love. And this is when you know you've got a pastor who's a little different, because I'm telling this story in church. It's about a rapper whose fame had peaked in the 90s until a court appearance a couple weeks ago. His name is Afro Man. I can't tell you how much I love the idea of y'all going out in the world this week and saying, my pastor taught us about Afro Man. He was less of a gangster-style rapper and more of a mellow pot smoker who bragged about his sexual exploits. In 2022, police raided his home. Adams County, Ohio, was where his now ex-wife lived with their kids, who were 10 and 12 at the time. Ohio, not LA or some big hotbed of gang violence. The Adams County Sheriff's Office received a tip that the house registered to this black rapper Afro Man was a front for kidnapping and narcotics. Given America's relationship with police routinely killing black men unjustly, you might think that's where this story is going, but it's on a different path, using love and creativity. The sheriff's office swooped in, breaking and knocking down the door, weapons drawn, to investigate and find kidnap victims and narcotics. Afro Man's ex-wife and children were terrified. The home is equipped with high-tech cameras that caught every action. They found nothing, and no charges were filed. He had $5,000 in cash that they seized, but when nothing was found wrong and they returned it, it was $400 light. Hateful, racist, ready to believe bad things about a black rapper, home invasion. No apologies, no repayment, no fixing the damages, nothing. Afro Man, an artist, even if it's not my or your type of art, he's an artist. He reviewed all of the camera footage, including them trying to damage and dismantle the camera equipment. He saw something that caught his eye and turned any vengeful thoughts over to his creative side. On video is the fat sheriff, weapon drawn, stopped cold in the kitchen, turning his head and gazing adoringly at a lemon pound cake under a cake dome. You know, lemon pound cake, like the kind homes have that are full of narcotics and kidnap victims. He used footage he legally owned to write an album worth of songs about the raid and the deep racial hatred and injustice. The songs in the album have been selling very well. I'm not suggesting that we look it up because a lot of it is just not pulpit worthy. But some of them that I can repeat are The Police Raid, Lemon Pound Cake. Why are you disconnecting my video camera? Will you help me repair my door? Each song had facts, truth, and in most cases, video proof. So with sales of his album taking off and a resurgence of his fame, the Adams County Sheriff's Office sued him for defamation. Their lawsuit alleged that his album detailing what they did to him caused them, quote, humiliation, ridicule, mental distress, embarrassment, and loss of reputation, end quote. Most of the time, and I had to look this up, it's not like I follow this guy, right? So most of the time he makes public appearances in suits that have pot leaves all over the jacket. But last week he appeared in court in a suit made of American flags, and his tour is being called the Freedom of Speech Tour. He had met their hate with creativity, nonviolence, and fans singing about the love of lemon pound cake sung to the theme of Under the Boardwalk. Can you hear it with me? Lemon pound cake. Okay. Pound cake. He had met their hate with all of this creativity. Now imagine that courtroom when he won. Because he won. So many stories like Bob Dylan's The Hurricane or Peter Gabriel's Stephen Biko are about when black men are unjustly held or killed by police. This was a wonderful creative turnaround. Now, as you prepare to go on with your week, purified by church attendance, know this. Hate is often driven by fear, and fear is often driven by ignorance. Education, information sharing, basic curiosity can clear up the ignorance and fear sometimes so that we can see each other more clearly as equals. This means that when we hear something that to us sounds hateful, if at all possible, spread the love. As we leave this place thinking about hate and love, think about who you want to be, and then be her. Think about how you wish people treated each other, and then do that, even if it's not returned. Whenever something hateful comes your way, remember, love and hate are two sides of the passion coin. When you encounter an act or a speech that is fueled by hate for something or someone, think about the passion that is behind it. What is it they're afraid of, really, that causes them to be hateful? Now, in some cases, it really is just a ploy to win power. But listen, what are they ignorant of, causing them to act or speak or vote with incomplete information? Treat them with the love they wish to deny others. Use your voice, use your actions. When it comes time, use your vote to create the loving world you wish for, and invite everybody along. Flip that coin from hate to love and bring more love into the world.